Hi, this is James Brains. Welcome to the Brains Report podcast, episode one. We are here with Brian Brunsing. He's the president and one of the three founders of Banana Phone. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Brian? It's Banana Phone, right?
Correct.
Cool. So, Brian, give us a little background to the story of the Banana Phone.
Yeah, absolutely. So Banana Phone was an idea that originally came to my mind about 2 years ago. And before we launched Banana Phone, I was working in an office and I loved it a lot and had great colleagues and I'm a bit of a jokester. And I also love bananas. I love to eat them. I'd have a bushel at my desk every day. And I always was goofing around and, you know, if somebody came up to me or, you know, it was a lull in the office, I'd always, you know, pick up a banana, put it to my ear, and maybe somebody's coming over to distract me from work and I'd, you know, hold a banana to my ear and be like, sorry, I'm on a really important phone call right now. I got to talk to you later, something along those lines. And one day on a Friday, I was hanging out at my desk and was doing the banana phone shtick and thought, wait a second, this has to exist. You know, I'm sure I can go on Amazon and buy a banana phone right now. And after about 5 minutes, I realized that banana phones don't exist, at least Bluetooth wireless banana phones. And I went online and I bought a Bluetooth headset. I bought a plastic banana, and I made my own.
Wow.
And I had one for myself, and I just thought it was, like, goofy and hilarious and, and a great joke. And a couple months went by, and one of my really good friends from growing up, Charlie Catrice, who is the CTO and co-founder of Banana Phone, gave me a ring and said, and Charlie, he lives in Toronto. He said, listen, I got this incredible opportunity to be a member of the Artist in Residency program at Autodesk. And Autodesk is one of the premier automation software design companies. They're massive in the open source 3D printing space. They're massive in a lot of the software that is used for special effects. And they happen to run a world-class makerspace called Pier 9 in San Francisco. And Charlie had a four-month opportunity to be an artist in residency, where basically they give him an unlimited budget and an opportunity to create any type of projects that he wanted to pursue at that time. And he said, hey, do you know anywhere in San Francisco I could live? And I talked to my roommates, and we had a spare room in our house. And I said, yeah, of course. Come on out. You can live with us for as long as you want. We'll give you some super cheap rent, which is not a commodity in San Francisco.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I've got one ask, which is you help me build a banana phone. And so he's like, yeah, sure. Of course, that sounds great. So Charlie came out, and he was working on a variety of other projects. And Charlie's a really... really amazing, hilarious guy. He's super brilliant. He has an undergraduate degree in physics from McGill University. He's at the University of Toronto getting a master's in mechanical engineering right now. And he's also an artist. So he blends that science and art background together, and he does a lot of wild stuff on his own. So a couple months go by, and one day he's like, come on down to the Autodesk museum, and they have a 3D print museum where they have a variety of different objects which they build, which is really cool. If you're ever in downtown San Francisco, go check it out. It's free. It's awesome. So we're walking around the museum, and I look on the shelf, and sure enough, there's this like great 3D printed banana. And I go, Charlie, it can't be that hard. Yeah. Charlie, it can't be that hard to make a banana phone. There's a giant 3D printed banana right here. And he goes, pick it up. And I look at it, and it was a banana phone. And he had actually taken all the Bluetooth components, engineered like a really nice banana around all the components and made the first one. And so at that point, we just had, you know, two banana phones, and we're just goofing around thinking it's hilarious. And so a couple months go by, and we're just hanging out. We're back on the East Coast. I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and Charlie's from Toronto. He came down to visit. It's only 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. And a third one of our friends from growing up came over.
Was that Max?
And that's Max, yeah. And we've all been friends since we were 10 years old. We grew up as canoe tripping guides in Algonquin Park at a place called Camp Pathfinder. And so we met each other at summer camp when we were 10, and we all worked there until we were in our, you know, early 20s. So I had a long-standing friendship.
So you're friends from summer camp who actually kept in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
You hear a lot about that, and people don't usually keep in touch, but they say they will. But that's awesome, and you're doing great things together.
Yeah, no, it was great. And so Max, you know, he's hanging out in the living room, and he goes, "What's that?" And we're like, "It's a banana phone. It's a phone with a peel." And and he goes, "We need to start a company. Like, we have to. We've got to do it." And so, you know, Charlie and I at that point were like, "Well, it's a big commitment. We could crowdfund it." We thought about it. We milled it over. A couple of months went by, Max gave us a shout again, said we have to start this company. And basically around November 20th of 2016, so 11 months ago, more or less, we got on the first call and we said, okay, what would it take to do this? And we've been meeting once a week ever since. We incorporated a business in early January of 2017 and off to the races.
That's awesome. So I was wondering, where are the actual phones produced? Is it like an overseas operation, or how is that done?
Yeah, so the phones are produced in Shenzhen, China.
Okay, and, awesome.
None of us had ever gone through a, you know, hardware manufacturing production run before, but I have a background in e-commerce. Charlie's a mechanical engineer, and Max, he's a director of sales for a company called Garrett Leather. That's his day job by night. He's the CEO of Banana Phone. Mm-hmm. And we said, listen, we're smart guys. We're resourceful. We can figure things out. Let's just dive into it. And surprisingly enough, there's a tremendous amount of resources online that you can research to kind of source manufacturers. So we said, well, first, we need to design it. We have to build an RFQ, or a request for quote. And then once we have all of our specs, our designs, everything dialed in, we can reach out to these manufacturers. So we reached out to 8 manufacturers in Asia and 4 manufacturers in the United States. Right off the bat, 3 of the manufacturers in the United States laughed us out of the building and said, not what we do. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Like, not our cup of tea. And the 4th manufacturer in the United States said, well, we could do it, but here's the facts and figures. This is our answer. And it was 5 times the amount of sourcing it from an Asian organization. And so on the flip side, when we reached out to 8 of the manufacturers in China, 6 came back with extremely viable responses, and 3 knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
And their credibility, we asked for sources, we asked for references, reference products, things like that. They're very open. Their promptness, their attention to detail, their ability to communicate and be highly consultative was very impressive. And so we ordered 3 prototypes. And, you know, from there, we were able to whittle it down to 2 options. And then we finally made our manufacturing decision shortly before we launched our Indiegogo campaign.
Awesome. And do you have a good quality, third-party quality control set up over there?
Yeah, we do. We've been working with an organization that audits it on our behalf. Nice. And so, the process is, everything is tested, and, you know, assembly is complete. Individual components are tested, such as batteries, speakers, PCBAs, and then post-assembly, we have an additional test that is done in-house, and then we test basically out of every batch, 1 out of 50 products to determine, you know, how are things performing, and we have SLAs in place as well.
Cool. And how did you decide on the price, the market price of $40?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and it's something that we put a lot of thought into. Mm-hmm. We definitely wanted Banana Phone to be a product which is accessible to the masses. So pricing it too high would make it difficult for people to purchase impulsively. pricing it too low would make it difficult for people to perceive quality, or I think that the expectation of a quality product would be reduced. And so we felt that $40 would provide a healthy balance of accessibility to the masses, marketability for kind of more of a, yeah, why not? That's hilarious. I'm going to go ahead and do it. While also having viable margins for the business.
Okay. And what's been the biggest challenge for Banana Phone, like getting it to market, the whole process?
Yeah, I think in complete transparency, one of the biggest black boxes for us was how do we receive third-party product certifications and validations for things like FCC, CE, RoHS, Telex certification.
Oh, yeah.
and how do we do it in a cost-effective manner, and what is the best practice around receiving that certification? And for us, because we don't have the expertise in-house, we reach out to a lot of people in our network or friends of friends, or even reach out to people kind of on more of a kind of a cold calling explanation of who we are, what we're trying to accomplish, and asking for help and advice from people who are industry professionals. And, you know, typically we like to triangulate responses from multiple people, and responses were all across the board. And quotes were being able to do the third-party testing were across the board. You know, there were factors of 5 times more expensive working with some agencies versus others. And so we've worked with testing labs who are actually based in Asia to receive our FCC certification so that we can retail, you know, officially in the United States. We're currently receiving our in-flight with our Telex certification and our CE certification so that we can distribute to the masses in both Europe and Japan. So that has been a process, but we're feeling like we're on the other side of that hurdle at this point.
Great. So 1% of the, is it the retail price of each phone goes to gearing up for Gorillas? Can you tell me why you chose that and a little bit about the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the best place to start is the fact that early on in the project, Max, Charlie, and I agreed that we would love to have some portion of our proceeds go to support an environmental cause. We're in the process of receiving our 1% for the planet certification, and we just felt like having some type of socially responsible enterprise, or at least an initiative internally that would route funds to a great cause, was something that we would love to do along the way. And so, you know, we thought about it in parallel with, or, you know, on brand or in line with our brand. We thought about causes that we cared about. And actually, I had watched a documentary called Virunga on Netflix. If you haven't seen it, incredible documentary about Virunga National Park in the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Okay, and I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I've seen it on there. Haven't watched it yet.
It's mind-blowing.
Okay.
And the actual population of gorillas, the risks that they face due to the actual civil war that's going on in the Congo, as well as the environmental factors of multinational corporations having interests in resource mining, whether it's oil or diamonds in the park. It's fascinating. And the population of these gorillas, which are incredible species, is highly at risk. And there is a population of guards whose sole job is to protect the gorillas. So to learn more about the cause, I highly recommend watching the documentary. But we immediately started doing research on organizations that do directly support the preservation of gorillas in the DRC. And we came across Gearing Up for Gorillas, which is an organization that's actually based in the United Kingdom. And along the way, you know, after multiple conversations, we had an awesome opportunity to partner with them. And they were very open to the idea They had a great sense of humor about it. And yeah, we struck a partnership back in March. And it's just been a really cool operation to see. We've donated just over $500 to the organization through our Indiegogo campaign thus far. And we're just really excited to see that metric continue to uptick as we continue to drive sales.
Awesome. I definitely appreciate giving back with any money that's made. I want to touch on the Indiegogo campaign. You guys did an amazing job on that. Can you tell me a little about that? What would you say was the key to your Indiegogo success?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, having a really clear message to convey is really important for any product, whether you're crowdfunding it or launching it, just out into the mainstream, etc. And it boils down to the three pillars that Banana Phone is really built on, which is inspiring people to talk more. We live in an age where people are constantly behind their phones, constantly behind their computers. Everyone is a text away, but having a real conversation like we're doing right now is increasingly uncommon.
I actually wanted to do this over text, but whatever, man.
That's, you know, I'm happy that we're not doing it because I'm a talkative guy. So talking more is huge. Smiling more is huge. You know, Banana Phone is a goofy joke. Like, first and foremost, like, the idea is to get people to crack a smile, to loosen up, and to do a double take and realize that even though, you know, things are really serious at times, life can be tough, cracking a smile makes you feel better. And then finally, saving gorillas. And so, you know, boiling that message down and then being able to craft a video that told that story was key. The second thing that was instrumental to having a successful Indiegogo campaign is developing social proof. And social proof is basically the idea that your product will be funded and it will come to fruition, or at least the perception that it will. And we did a lot of research on ways that we could gain social proof. And basically for an Indiegogo campaign or a Kickstarter campaign or any type of crowdfunding campaign, the objective is to be 30% funded within the first 72 hours. Mm. That's a massive, massive milestone. Okay. And so once we knew that that was our objective, we had to reverse engineer our way into how are we going to attain that? And it comes down to mobilizing our networks. So we did an extensive amount of work at developing internal email lists of promoting the brand before it launched, of developing a social media presence, and then having very clear asks of how people could help us get our dream off the ground the day that it launched. And it really came down to three asks, the first being to obviously back the Indiegogo campaign. The second was to like our social media campaigns. And then the third was to share our video. And by directly and explicitly asking people to share our video and making it very easy for them to do so via an automated email campaign, we were able to drive tremendous visibility to gain that social proof in the first 72 hours from our immediate networks. And then as soon as we got that, it was like dominoes, where we saw additional press and media outlets like the Huffington Post, Verge, Food & Wine, CNET, a variety of different organizations around the world actually started running the story and creating their own content to share, which amplified our story and directly led to our success. The third part is that, you know, crowdfunding for a small startup idea is an amazing way to open your product up to an audience that you previously don't have any contact to. And so using the Indiegogo platform was incredibly user-friendly and a great way for us to drive traffic to our project, you know, during the campaign and even after the campaign.
Awesome. What does success of the banana phone look like for you? Like what would your ideal, like maybe a year or two down the road, where do you see banana phone, the company? What would be a successful future for it in your mind?
Yeah, it's a really great question, and I think that, you know, it's very likely that if you were to ask Max or ask Charlie the question, you might get a different response. But that's okay, and it's a really positive thing because we constantly influence each other to look at and perceive things in different ways. But for me, Banana Phone has been a project first and foremost about bringing something that's really hilarious to the masses and trying to inspire people to, as we've talked about, talk more, smile more, and help save gorillas or drive awareness about that type of cause. Mm-hmm. And to that point, I feel like we've already ticked that box. The second major priority for me is, and I haven't mentioned this yet, but prior to starting this company, I spent 5 years working as an e-commerce consultant for Visa, the credit card company. And I was fascinated by the ability to scale a business very quickly using digital channels exclusively and to do so remote. And so it's been a tremendous learning experience for us to be able to have a product which we can then utilize to, or that we can use to launch into, you know, cyberspace across various different mediums. And so for us, you know, it's developing a successful Amazon FBA-based product. Second, it's developing a successful website-based where we can share the concept, share the product, share our brand with our user base, and potentially launch new products or different iterations of Banana Phone in the future. And then lastly, it's about developing partnerships with brick-and-mortar retailers that we can develop wholesale relationships through. And then in also doing so both domestically in the United States and internationally. And using this project, which is a very simple concept, to gain additional understanding of how to operate a global business and do it both digitally and through wholesale relationships around the world. So those are the three things that I would say I would define success as for Banana Phone. And the first one is ticked off, and the second two were in process of launching. And, you know, in 2 years from now, I would love to be able to circle back with you and articulate what we've learned and how we've achieved success in the e-commerce space, the Amazon space, and international distribution through a wholesaler network around the world.
For sure. So you mentioned potentially having other products down the road. Do you have any ideas of what you might have? A buddy of mine flippantly suggested an ice cube tray phone, but I think, so I've actually written to Verizon about this, but creating a old school giant cell phone that you could use to make phone calls. I think that would be an awesome product. It's kind of a little bit off brand because it's not really a banana, but anyway, do you have any product ideas that you're kind of envisioning as your next steps?
So you're talking about like bringing back the Zach Morris Saved by the Bell phone?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, big old brick. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I think that, I mean, there's definitely a market for it. I remember buying one of those on eBay, like in high school, and just like taking it to parties and thinking it was real. Like, it didn't even work, but I would just be like, sorry, I have a very important telephone call right now. But yeah, no, I think that there's definitely a market, a niche market for it, for sure. We definitely have ideas for more products that we're currently designing and have in the works so that once we have our distribution networks, you know, our website, our Amazon channels and our wholesaler network set up, we can quickly bring other products to market. But it's just a little bit too early for us to talk about right now.
Okay, that makes sense. What is your relationship to Raffy?
Oh, man. Man, this is a sensitive subject, and I definitely want to navigate this question with tact, but I have nothing but respect for Raffy, and you know, Rafi, if you hear this, give us a call, call us back, send it, respond to one of our emails, please.
But, TV commercials coming.
We have nothing but respect for Rafi. I love the Banana Phone song. Like, it's like when we tell people that we run a Banana Phone company, like, I'd say one out of four are like, no, 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 boop, boop, but it ring, ring. You know, like, they immediately break into the Rafi song.
Awesome.
But yeah, so, you know, we don't have an official relationship in any capacity with Rafi. I would love to talk to him and at least send him a Banana Phone. But yeah, nothing official at this point, but, you know, we'd love to crack that cookie.
Okay. Awesome. So we're going to enter into a new part of the podcast, which this is the first podcast, so every part's new. But anyway, we're going to do five quick questions, and feel free to answer as little or as much as you want for each one. The first one, on a scale of 2 to 37, how weird are you?
So is 2, like, not weird at all, and 37 is extremely weird?
Correct, yes.
I'd say, like, a 28.
Yeah, okay.
I'd say 28. I'd say that weird is a relative term compared to who you're around. But, you know, I think that being who you are and being goofy and pursuing crazy ideas is really important. And so I'm not completely off the spectrum, but I'm definitely on the weirder side.
Awesome. Question 2, what is something that you know to be a fact that no one agrees with you on?
Oh, great question.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how I'd answer it, and that's a tough one.
Yeah, give me a second.
Okay.
I know these are best addressed when they're just like off the top of your head, so, yeah. Let's see. Okay, here's one. So when I was a little kid, I used to eat tons of cereal, and I'm adamantly I adamantly believe that there is a market for cereal milk. For example, like I used to eat a lot of Honeycombs or like Frosted Flakes, and like drinking the milk at the end of the bowl was like one of the highlights of the whole experience. And I think that if they sold like Honeycomb flavored milk or like Honey Nut Cheerios flavored milk, people would love it, but nobody believes me. So that's probably my response right now. There's probably better responses, but that's where I'm going to go with right now.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good one. Question 3, at what time of day do you do your best work?
I'd say the first 4 hours of the day. So definitely between 8 a.m. or 8 a.m. and 8 noon, 8 and 1. That's like my highest productivity level of every day for sure.
Awesome. Question 4, what is one habit you have that you think everyone should have?
Yeah. Every day I take a moment and try and focus on all the things that I'm grateful for in my life. And try and start the day out every day like that. 10 minutes of gratitude, thinking about my health, my family, my friends, the opportunity to travel, to see new places, meet new people, experience new things. And you know, obviously this project, that's something that I do every day. And, I think that that's something that people should certainly take an opportunity to do. And just recognize that obviously every day is different. There's ups, there's downs, but there's so much to be grateful for, and to focus on that, it'll start your day off on a great foot every day.
That's awesome. I actually do the same thing. Are you familiar with the 5-minute journal?
I am. Yeah. I've definitely dabbled with it before, and it's an awesome tool. I'll go like weeks or months where, you know, I'll do it, or I'll say, I'm going to do it every day for 2 weeks. But, you know, 3 things that you're grateful for, things that you're excited about, things that you can learn from. Like, I love kind of like those journaling style concepts and being able to just like put your day into perspective. It's really important.
For sure, yeah. I'm a big fan. Question five, what has been the most effective method for getting the word out about your product?
I think for us at this point, our video set the tone for who we are, how the product operates and functions, and really kind of set the tone for how people should perceive it. It's just like an outrageous, fun, goofy product that will help them have, you know, help them crack smiles, make people laugh, and lighten up a little bit. I think that our video was exceptionally important on that front. And I think in the future, having use cases of people using Banana Phone in outrageous situations is going to be the next critical piece. And so we're working on that every day.
Awesome. Yeah, I really enjoyed the video. I like the, there's all sorts of little, like, subtle things in it. For example, maybe it was Max answering the phone with yellow, and just throwing the banana in the box, and for no reason, just having it fly on the ground. Just, like, little subtle things that are kind of quirky and funny. And plus, there's the more, like, latent stuff, or, I ain't getting enough sleep. I can't remember my wording. Anyway, words don't work today. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, that's the video, like, aside from being a great marketing tool, the video was outrageously fun to film. And that's the spirit that we take with us in everything that we do. None of us, like, we're incredibly serious about not taking this too serious. Or ourselves too serious, if that makes sense. It's, you know, I think that the objective or the way that we think about it is, let's put the best product that we can together to market. Let's have an awesome customer experience. Let's have a cool brand. Let's make an effort to have an awesome, do our best to have an awesome social media profile and really just like everything, every touch point with our customers to have a great experience. But also remember that it's fun and it's outrageous and it's goofy. And, you know, from my perspective, I think that there's so many tech products which are really sleek, crisp lines, cool rectangles and cool ovals and cool circles, but they take themselves way too serious. And, you know, our objective is to make cool, funny, hilarious tech products that aren't too serious, that are lighthearted, that, you know, are great to use and great to just remember to relax a little bit. And I think it comes down to like our demographic as well, which, I mean, this might offend some people, but, you know, the way I think about our demographic is, you know, checkbox number one, do you have a pulse? Checkbox number two, do you have a sense of humor? And then that's it, you know? And, that's the way that I think about it, because I think that everybody can appreciate it. Everybody can find humor in things like this. And if it's not Banana Phone, like, there's other products out there that just get the quick laugh that, like, you know, maybe not everybody thinks is hilarious, but there's 1 out of 10 people who's like, that is absolutely a riot and I need one right now. So.
Sure. Yeah. And I like the good natured humor of it. But before we go, is there anything else you'd like people to know?
I think that it's just, you know, closing remarks, two things. One, if you have any, or well, a couple things. Our official launch on Amazon Prime is going to be Monday, December 4th. So if you're interested in getting Banana Phones for yourself or for people for the holidays, they make awesome gifts for the people that have everything or the people that have a great sense of humor. You can find it on Amazon on December 4th. We are also able to ship internationally, anywhere in the world, through our Indiegogo campaign, which is still live. So if you're listening to this from another country outside of Canada, United States, or Mexico, you can order through our Indiegogo campaign, and we'll have it to you in 7 to 10 days. Lastly, have fun. Don't take yourself too seriously. Have a blast. And if you have any questions, you can email us at yellow@bananaphone.io, like I's in indigo, O is in October. Or, of course, find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome, Brian. And I'm going to put notes in, I'll put the links in the show notes to make it easy for people to access the Amazon and the Indiegogo campaign. I'm only holding my banana phone right now. I actually have had a chance to use it a little bit, and I like how light it is. I actually went to the grocery store with it a couple days ago, and just in case someone called. Unfortunately, no one ever calls me, so I didn't get to whip it out in public. But I'm excited to use it in fun and exciting places, and probably within the next month, I'll post a review of it. So far, I've had fun with it, and Bucky had fun calling his brother on it. So, yeah, I'm excited to see how Banana Phone does, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, Brian.
Yeah, James, it's been an awesome conversation. If you have any other questions, just give me a shout. You got my email. We'd love to help you out in any way, and I'm glad that your initial use of Banana Phone has been awesome, and yeah, take some pictures with it, send it to our Instagram, and we'd love to hear from you.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Brian, and that wraps up the first episode of Brains Report.